Today we're going to continue our series on the courage of Christ. And some people might wonder, I don't know how you can wonder listening to me if we get our lessons or something from somewhere else. Because all my bad grammar I put in. That's my signature, amen? Put bad grammar in. But anyway, the fact of the matter is, you know, I just ask the Lord to help us. And I see things along the way, you know, ideas and sermon titles and topics. And I was going through a book or reading or something, and I saw something about Jesus, and then it mentioned the courage of Christ. And I thought, man, we talk about the courage of Joseph and the courage of Joshua, and that's true. And Daniel and the three Hebrew children, the fiery furnace, you know, we do all that kind of stuff. But listen, ain't nobody more courageous than Jesus.
Amen.
Amen? And so it just hit me. I'm going to talk about the courage of Jesus Christ. And I can talk and talk and talk and talk, but we're going to try to limit it to 5 messages. This is message number 3. The first message was the courage to endure temptation. Wow! I mean, man, he's out here 40 days, 40 nights, and then the devil comes. Woo! Hungry as he can be, and then the devil comes. Just he and the devil, face to face. Fought it out. And then finally Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." Amen? And the Bible says Satan left him. And so, boy, that's courage to endure temptation. We tried to make it applicable to our life. And then last week was the courage to oppose phony faith. Jesus, I personally believe, on 2 occasions, cleansed the temple. One at the beginning of his ministry, John 2. One at the end of his ministry, Matthew 21. And he goes in and here these guys are crooks and charlatans, and they're taking advantage of the people. They're charging 8% for them to change what they call dirty money into clean temple money. And they make 8% on that, and then the priests are getting their cut. It was a racket. And he flips the tables, and he drives them out with a scourge of cords in one of the incidences, and the other one he didn't. But it's just amazing that his courage to oppose faith. And the gist of the message was that we need to be flipping some tables in our own heart. Because we are what? We're the temple now, aren't we? We're the temple of the living God. So that's where we need to watch it and look in our own life. So the courage to oppose these things that come in our lives that are so phony when it comes to faith. Now today, the courage to be meek. The courage to be meek. We're going to look at Matthew 23. If you want to maybe find your way to Matthew 23, we're going to look at lots of scriptures before we get there. But Matthew 23 will be where we're heading. Courage to be meek. Courage. Meek. Courage. Meekness. Sounds like an oxymoron. Courage. Meek. Courage. Meek. Look at some of these oxymorons. Look at this. Jumbo. Smith. Courage, meek. Couple of them. Kurt Ugly. That's an oxymoron. In case some of you are like me and grew up your whole life didn't know what an oxymoron was, you thought that was like a dumb ox. Oh, oxymoron. That's how we do it outside. We're trying to figure it out. Pretty ugly. Here we go. Tax return. That's funny. Same difference. Same difference. I mean, this would have been a whole semester of learning in Rockingham. What you get right here. We'd have been like, same difference. There we go. Here we go. Healthy team. Get you a healthy team. All right. Educated guess. And here's one for all of you. Government organization. Government organization. That's good. Anyway, let's move on with the message. The courage to be meek. It sounds like an oxymoron. It sounds like the two can't go together. Courage and meekness. But we're going to delve right into it and dive into it. We're going to see what happens. Meekness, can you say this with me, is strength under control. That's what meekness is. Meekness is strength under control. James 3:3, behold, we put bits into the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. The idea of meekness, and I want Michael G. Rackey, can you help me take this microphone? You're not going to get in trouble. I want you to take that microphone. Is it on? Check it out. All right, let me look at it. You're blinding around. Here we go. And we want you to take that over to Roger the Dodger Johnson. Okay? Meekness. One example of meekness would be a horse. We put bits in the horse's mouth. I can't hardly think of a creature, and I know we've got several of you that work with horses, something so big, so strong, yet you can control that sucker with a little what? Bit in the horse's mouth. It's bridled power. Look at this. Let's look at that other picture, right? This is you know what that is? That's a skull of a horse. Now, Roger, take that microphone and talk to me just a minute. Since you've had experience raising horses and what have you, how does that bit work? How does that bit in a horse's mouth? Here's this big, strong critter. How can you put that bit in a horse's mouth and then control him? And what's that all about? Why does that work?
It's because it's an irritant.
It's an irritant.
Yeah.
We know some of them.
It kind of... On each side, I'm going to move the mouse over here.
There's a mouse. Look at the mouse. Look at it.
Right around there, the bit's going through their mouth, and as you can see, there's nothing. There's no teeth there on this side.
So an idea.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So you only put it about as tight to get about one wrinkle, maybe two wrinkles on the horse's mouth, and when you're tugging on either side, it's just kind of pulling at their cheek, and they don't like that.
Okay.
And there are softer bits there. Less aggressive bits, there's more aggressive bits, and she knows much more.
So because of the pulling and the pain that it causes Raj, that therefore irritates the horse, and the horse is more apt to obey and to do what it's supposed to do?
Yeah, it just doesn't want to be irritated.
Doesn't want to be irritated.
It gives in.
Gives in. Amen. So that's what the doctor, we put...
That's a good horse, though.
That's a good horse, yeah. But we put bits in the horse's mouth, something so strong, and it can seem so tame. That's sort of the idea of meekness, strength under control. Let's look at that one, right? Let's move. There we go. You going to sit there? You going to have your There we go. James 3:4. Behold, ships, which though they be so great, they're driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm or rudder, whithersoever the governor or the captain wants it to go. A rudder on the back of the ship. And he's got a ship there. And on the back, you have a rudder. And you can turn such a big ship. So meekness is strength under what? Control. I want to go somewhere this morning with this message. Let's keep looking. Meekness is strength and power under control. Keep moving. Oh, I need you to say this today. Meekness is not
weak.
One more time. Get with me here. Come on. Meekness is not
weak.
That's right. So often they sound alike, don't they? Meek, weak. Huh? And so often we think of somebody who's meek as weak, but meekness is not weakness. Look at a couple of scriptures. James 1:20-21. The wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, superfluid, naughtiness, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Another one out of James 3:13. Who's a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? If you're really wise, watch it. Let him show forth out of a good conversation his works with what? Meekness of wisdom. A couple other verses on meekness. Meekness is a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Say it with me. Meekness. Temperance, which is a lot like meekness. Against such there is no law. A couple other things about meekness. It's a mildness of temper. It's patient when suffering. It is commonly associated with what? There's the rub. Right there. I mean, really, to have meekness, it comes out of a humble spirit. Okay? A couple other things about meekness. Jesus is meek. What's the Bible say? Matthew 11:29. Jesus speaking, take my yoke upon you. learn of me. Say it with me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. You should find rest for your soul. So Jesus is meek. Another verse, Matthew 5:5. Jesus said the meek are blessed. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit. Boy, it sounds like I can inherit the earth. It's something I need, amen? I need to be meek. The meek are going to inherit the earth. Something else. Somebody answer the phone. The Pharisees are cut it off, amen? The religious leaders, the Pharisees were the religious leaders during the time of Jesus, and they were anything but meek. And that's where we're headed right now. So are you with me? So we've been looking at meekness. So what is meekness? Strength under control. It's like that bit in the horse's mouth. It's like that rudder on a ship. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Jesus is meek. We're told if we are wise, we're going to be meek. Amen? So meekness, 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 all these things. We're going to be blessed if we're meek. Well, where's the courage to be meek coming at? Well, the courage from this story that I'd like to tell you, right out of the Scriptures, Jesus confronts the Pharisees. And let's look at that last screen one more time. The last screen, the Pharisees. They were the religious leaders during the time of Jesus. The Pharisees were anything but meek. It's something like Hollywood. Okay? If Hollywood says, this is good, then we know it's bad under most circumstances. That's the truth. That's the truth. The Pharisees, when you look at them, you can see what meekness is not. And Jesus confronts them. Now, many times in the Scriptures, Jesus had one-on-one encounters with them. It might be a small group of them. It might be one. It might be two or three. He would confront them throughout the Scriptures. But now, it's Matthew 23. It's coming the end of His earthly ministry. And He confronts them publicly before the multitudes. The first part of the conversation we're going to see is Him talking to the multitudes, but the Pharisees are right here. And then He turns around and He addresses the Pharisees. There's nothing like it in the Bible. I was talking to Pete King last week, and he had it right on the money. He said it's tantamount to cussing. It is. I'm telling you, Jesus said things that would get you killed. I guess it did, didn't it? Got him killed. But Jesus, no, listen, Jesus came to be a ransom for many. Amen? Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus was born to what? To die. But He had courage. Towards the end of His ministry, courage His whole ministry. But towards the end of the ministry, He stared death and hell and these Pharisees right in the face. And they were anything but meek. So now let's go to Matthew 23. If you have your Bible, you can follow right along with us this morning. And we're going to take a little stroll through the Scriptures. Here we go. These Pharisees abused their power. They were out of control. What is meekness? Strength and power under control. So they did exactly the opposite. Jesus had the courage to confront them publicly before the multitudes. We already said that, but it's good to hear it again. The courage to be meek. Let's look at it. Matthew 23. What meekness is it? Matthew 23, verses 1 through 3. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to His disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and what? Do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and... What meekness is it? Number one, here it is. It is not telling others how to live and not living it. Did you hear it say? That's what they were doing. And matter of fact, they were telling the truth. Many times, many of the things they were saying, Jesus said, as they say, do, but don't. Do like they do. Amen? They're saying one thing, but they're not living it. Meekness is not telling others how to do it and not living it. Let's keep going. Matthew 23:4. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne. They lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move with one of their fingers. We're looking at what meekness is not. First, we saw what meekness was. Strength under control, saw those things. Now, meekness is not telling other people how to live and not live it. Meekness is not, watch this, burdening others with the serving of the Lord and not raising a finger. I mean, it's great. I'm tickled that you're at Fellowship Church, but let me tell you something. There's a lot of people that it takes a lot of work to make this thing happen. And we want you to hear the gospel and receive it. And the thing is, I don't see what you're doing. Many of you, I do see what you're doing because I'm here with you and serving with you, thank God. Amen? But I know there are others out in the community. You're talking, you're witnessing, you're sharing. But listen, you need to be doing something. You hear me say? That's part of maintenance. Oh, we've got a great church. We'll fill it out, but I ain't doing nothing. Finish the sentence. You know what I'm saying? I mean, look, from giving to serving to whatever, meekness is not expecting other people to carry the burden on and not raising a finger. That's what the Pharisees did. Are you catching my drift this morning? This message is not for us to throw stones at somebody else. This message is for you to have the courage to confront yourself. What am I doing? Am I meek? And here's some things that will help you to do the meek test. Let's look at another one. Now remember, Jesus is saying this to the multitude. And his disciples, large multitude, and the Pharisees are right here. He's outside on the temple steps. The temple steps look over the Kidron Valley. There's graves on both sides. There's the Kidron Brook in the middle, and then there's the Mount of Olives with graves on that side, and then the top of the Mount of Olives. So he's here. The Pharisees, religious leaders, are right here. They're not out of earshot of what he's saying. He's doing this publicly. Look at the next thing, verse 5. But all their works they do to be seen of men. Can you imagine them hearing this say? Holy smokes. I can't imagine that. They do their works to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries. I'm going to tell you what that is in a second. And they enlarge the borders of their garments. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you want to make a note, I think verse 6 through 8 or 9, somewhere in that ballpark, it's told of the law in the Old Testament that you are to bind the law, the words of the law, around your hand and keep it as the frontlets before your eyes. And these Pharisees were always wanting to be seen of men. And you know what they would do? You know, a lot of the religious Jews would take these little boxes. Have you ever seen them before, say? Some of you? They take these little boxes and they tie them around their head with leather and they put the scripture right there and they put it also on their wrist. But you know what these dudes were doing? They were enlarging their phylacteries. You know what that means? They had these big honking boxes on their head. I'm spiritual. Look at my big box. How stupid. That is not meekness, friend. Or they would enlarge the borders of their garments. I mean, they'd wear these flowing robes, but I mean, you can tell the real spiritual ones by their enlarged garment borders and their bells and their little whistles and their little trinkets. And you go, ooh, there's a spiritual one. Look at that. That's what they did. So let's see what meekness isn't then. Meekness is not doing good work so you can be seen by men. It's not. Folks, that ain't worth a dime. God, matter of fact, he throws up that kind of stuff. This is God. Jesus Christ is God condemning this before the multitudes with them standing right there. So this is, man, you can't get any more Bible than this. Don't do that. Amen? Meekness is not bragging about how spiritual you are. It's just not. That's pathetic. Let's look at the next verse. Meekness is not what? Here it is. They love the uppermost rooms of the feast, the chief seats of the synagogues, the greetings in the market, to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your what? I am not Father Gary. I'm not Father Clark, except to mention Elise. Amen?
Amen.
Listen, we have, who's our Father? God's our Father. Don't paint me with that brush and put me in that camp. I don't want to be called Father. I want to be called your brother. Amen? Your brother and fellow laborer and servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't I want to be called Father? I tell you what, I don't know how anybody, and I'm just sorry, cannot open their Bible. I mean, is that plain Jane or what? Is that black? That's red and white. That ain't black and white. That's red letters in your Bible. And that might be a problem for some of you, but you need to realize what the Bible says and not what somebody else says. Don't call somebody Father. Verse 10, neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. So what were the Pharisees doing, and what meekness is not? Look at it. It is not desiring to be exalted and having the praise of others. Is praising or encouraging other people a bad thing? Yes or no? No. That's not bad, is it? If I encourage you guys, hey, that's great. You know where it gets bad? It's when I do things, so you tell me that. I do this, and they'll tell me how great I am. There's nothing wrong with encouraging one another. We need to do that in the body of Christ. Amen, brother? We need that. We need that. Remember, Jesus isn't about service. Jesus gets to the heart. Remember we said that last week? Nothing wrong with encouraging somebody. But don't do what you do to get that. That's what the problem is. Now, so what is meekness then? Let's look at it again from the Scriptures. We go now, you're following along with me. What is meekness? Let's look at verses 10 and 11, or 11 and 12. Jesus speaking, he that is greatest among you shall be your what? Servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, or made low, not out. And he that shall humble himself shall be what? Exalted. So, look at it. So, meekness is being a servant. Meekness is being humble. Now, we can quit right there, Mike. I'd say that's pretty good. I mean, that's a load today of message. I think we can learn from what we've studied today. And I think they'd have probably killed him just for saying that. You understand? You wouldn't be with me? That ain't even the tough part. I mean, he was talking to the multitude, and they were over here. Let me tell you what. He moves on the stage, and he starts hammering these guys. Let's look at it. Jesus drops the hammer. For you people that somehow think Jesus is meek, there's no doubt about it, because he said he was, and we know him to be meek. Amen? He was led as a slaughter before the shearers. He gave his life on Calvary's cross. But for somehow to think that you've got a weak Savior, you are crazy. He did this right to their face. And these weren't like fringe people. These were people that controlled everything. He went right to the top, right in their face, and he said things that were tantamount to cussing. And I know that bothers some of you. Jesus, what I'm saying is, what he said was foul. What he said was wrong in the culture that he lived in. How dare you? Let's look at it. It's like a bomb went off in a building. Y'all want to go there? You'll just quit. Let's see what happens. Jesus nails them with seven woes. Now, when you read your scripture, depending on what translation, I know the King James, I think there's eight. But two are just alike. They just expand on one another. So seven woes, but if you want to say eight, I don't care. One was too many. Here we go. Woes. You know what I think of when I read the scripture? I think of, whoa! You know what I mean? I mean, whoa! I mean, whoa, Gary! Don't go there! Don't live like this! Whoa! Here's what else I think of my old crazy head. If meekness is a horse that's riding, this reminds me, these woes remind me of a donkey. Whoa, Nelly! Look at that. How many ever said that? Did you ever say that when you grew up? Did you say that? Please help me out here. Thank you. Whoa, Nelly! Let me tell you. My wife always hates it when I say something like I'm about to say. This reminds me of a donkey because Jesus was speaking to a lot of jackasses. Okay? And when you and I get so full of ourselves and we don't have the strength and the control in our lives to serve Jesus Christ and living under the Spirit's control, but it's all about us, then you and I are jackasses. That's a little strong talk for some of you. I don't recommend you kids going around saying that. Make sure you put that jack part on. Amen? Here we go. I better hush. I'll have a sinking in the back. Listen, but I do think of a donkey. I do think of that. And they were so full of themselves and so stubborn. Let's look at it. When we want the power and the control instead of the Holy Spirit, then that's what we are.
Woe, Nelly!
So let's look at the woes right there. You with me? Come on, real fast. Woe. What's woe number one? Say it with me. They were keeping people out of heaven. Look at the scripture. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. You know what they were doing? Because they were living the way they were, because they were teaching the way that they were not allowing people to actually get to God. They were the representatives of God. But you couldn't really learn about the true God and the true way from them because they had screwed it all up. Does that make sense to you? So woe number one. As you and I live, we should be drawing people to Jesus Christ, not preventing people from entering heaven. Does that make sense to you? Meekness, a meek spirit, is going to draw people to Jesus Christ. I believe that. I believe that. Kindness, humility, compassion, love, concern. Not look at me. That drives the lost world away from Fellowship Church. They need to feel that we love them, that we're willing to serve them. Man, we'll open the door. We'll do anything we can. Amen. Does that make sense? They were the exact opposite of that. Jesus said, woe. He said, curse for you. He basically said, you're damned because of this. They were going to kill him shortly. Number two, woe. Their prayers aren't answered. Look at this. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. You devour widows' houses. They were going into the widows' homes, devouring their finances, taking advantage of those that were weak and frail. They would devour widows' homes and for a pretense make a long what? Therefore, you shall receive the greater what? Damnation. What they were doing, taking advantage of weak people, but look, and then going this, God bless you on the corner, amen, la 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 la. Let me tell you, woe, your prayers ain't answered. How do you live? I mean, do you do that? I'm just, hey, shucking the corn this morning. How do you live? Do you live in such a way? You take advantage of people, but you come to Fellowship Church on Sunday morning and pray, amen. That ain't worth a dime. Not a dime. You hear me? You don't take advantage of people in your business and you somehow act like God's answering your prayers. Even Monday. Here's another woe. Don't go there. Woe. Here we go. Their perversion perverted others. Here's what the scripture says. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, to win somebody over to your religious persuasion. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of what? Hell. Than yourselves. Now what's that all about? What it was, they perverted the teaching of the gospel, of the word, the law. They perverted that. They added their own rules. They twisted it. They turned it. They did this, that, or the other. And then when they would win somebody over to their persuasion, Jesus was saying, one, they were screwed up bad enough before they came to you. And now they've learned what you're teaching them, and now they're twofold the child of heaven. I've had many of you say to me, with tears and a broken heart, that you grew up, you were in, quote, a religion, where you were taught this, that was totally not biblical. And some of you are mad as a hornet over it. But you're free. Amen? Amen? You're free. Being a Christian is believing in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what being a Christian is. Putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You know, and I hate to bust your bubble. There is no purgatory. Okay? That's an easy way out. That's the way to make a few extra bucks. Okay? There is no purgatory. This is it. Newsflash. Here it is. You either get it during this life or you ain't getting it. Okay? You either get saved here, you put your faith in Christ here. There is no second chance. Oh, I'll go later. And my family, I'll get it. Buy me out of this joint. Ain't nobody out. That's a bunch of bull. Excuse me. That's just an example. Boy, it's not just limited to one religion. Boy, we're all prone to it, aren't we, Sam? Twist things, pervert things. We need to be careful. Are we making people who are following us or that we're teaching twofold the child of hell? Wow. Look at this next one. Woe to them. Here we are. Their oaths, words were deceptive and dishonest. The scripture. Now there's a lot of these. You'll read them later yourself. Here it is. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple is nothing, but whoso shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is debtor. What they were doing, they were taking things and they were telling people, now you can't swear by this. But if it was to their advantage, they would say, oh, but you can swear by this. Does that make any sense? Am I hitting the button for you here? Does that make any sense to you logically? I mean, what they were doing. They were making up these rules. Their oaths, their words were deceptive and dishonest. If it worked for them, that was good. Whoa. Truth is truth. Amen?
Amen.
Can you say that with me? Truth is truth. That's why me personally and Fellowship Church, we believe the Bible. We believe the Bible is infallible. That might be a problem for some of you. Mean you don't believe there's errors and stuff in the Bible? I do not believe there are errors in the Bible.
Amen.
I believe creation. I believe the flood. And if you don't believe the flood after tsunami, I don't know what, where you've been. One little hiccup like that and that many people are killed. The Bible tells us the ocean depths broke forth and you don't believe that could have killed all of civilization? Believe the Bible. That's the safe spot. Amen? Don't get into this mess, changing things, adding this. All that leads to is deception and dishonesty. The next one. Whoa! They were blind guides majoring on the minors and minoring on the majors. All right, here we go. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint. What do you think mint is? Mint is mint. How many have ever had little mint plants? You got mint plants and stuff like that? Okay, we never had mint plants in the South. We just got the gum. We ate the gum. Here we go. But anyway, mint. And anise and cumin. These are little herbs. So they pay tithes of the little herbs. You got 10 little herb leaves, you got to give God his little herb leaf. Okay? But you've omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, faith. These are things to have done and not to leave the other end done. You blind guys, watch this, which strain at a gnat and swallow what? See, a gnat was unclean. So they would strain your teeth. I'm not big on drinking gnats, people, okay? I'm going to drink a cup full of gnats. But what's more important? Worrying about that little gnat or worrying about loving your neighbor? So, worrying about mercy and compassion. They would, whoop, gotta be that little gnat out there. Unclean. Jesus said, you strain at a gnat and you crazy people, you swallow a big giant camel. They didn't like that. That was not a happy thing to say. Okay? So they were blind guys. They majored on the minors. And you know, they, like I said, they would take that little piece of mint leaf. And they were so careful about that. Another woe. We're almost to the end. Hang in here. They were clean on the outside, but dirty on the inside. Let's look at the scripture. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. You make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they're full of extortion and excess. Does it feel like he's ratcheting up the heat here? Sir? Whoa! Boy, this is pretty rough. You blind Pharisees, clean first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. This is just country talk. Listen. If you had a choice, would you rather have the inside of the cup clean or the outside of the cup clean? Would you rather see the big nasty thing on the outside of the cup after you started drinking, or would you rather look down there and see it on the inside of the cup? Hey, I like it clean out and in, but if I got a choice, get it clean on the inside first. That's the principle here. I mean, they were so clean outside, big phylacteries, big robes, hee-haw. Dirty as a dog on the inside. Now, look at it. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like whited sepulchres or tombs, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness, even so ye outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Here's one last little tidbit. The Pharisees could have nothing to do with a dead body. Okay? And so what they would do, these tombs, they would paint them with a bright white paint. So they could see it, like, can't go there. You know, oh, there's one. Wait, right. They couldn't have anything to do with a dead body. Jesus said this, you're white on the outside, you look like a pretty tomb. But inside, this was the worst thing he could say to them. Inside, you stink. You stink, you're full of rotting, decaying, nasty flesh. Wow. Did you think this took courage for Jesus to do this? Wow, what a Savior you have. Aren't you glad that you have a Savior who stands on truth? Don't you love that about Jesus? That He stood on the truth. He said, I am the truth. I'm the way, the life, and the truth. Amen. No man comes to the Father but by me. I get greatly disappointed when for political expediency we tell people that all roads lead to heaven. Or that these other religions are great religions. There's only one way, my friend. It's Jesus Christ. Don't you buy into the lie. You hear me? He won't put up with it. He will not put up with it. Be meek today. Humble yourself. Even though you have all these ideas, listen, you humble yourself under the authority of the Word of God. That is wisdom. Do that today. So anyway, the last thing is this. Woe, they were murderers, just like their ancestors. This is the ball out of the park. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets. You garnish their sepulchres, the sepulchres of the righteous. They would have this done. So it looked so pretty. And say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers of them and the blood of the prophets. The former Pharisees and religious leaders killed the true prophets. And they would say, we would not have done such a thing. So therefore they put flowers on their graves. Verse 31, wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Jesus basically goes on to say, you're liars, you're snakes, you're just terrible. It's terrible. You read it sometime. Bottom line is, they were murderers just like their daddies. And they pretended to remove themselves from the crimes that their fathers had done on those who proclaimed the truth. And Jesus was basically, and he goes on to tell them, you're going to kill the disciples. You're going to kill me. You're going to kill me. Friend, being a Pharisee, being somebody who's not me, being somebody who has strength and power that's totally out of control, that is not being like Jesus at all. There's no way you can slice it. There's no way you can cut it. It's all bad. Amen? Whoa, Nebby! I don't want to be a dumb jackass. Excuse me. I don't want to be that. As much as that bridle hurts sometimes, and that little bit, that's what I want in my life. Are you hearing me say that? I mean, I don't understand sometimes. Oh, he'll pull me, you know? But that's the life I want to live. I want this life. I don't want this life. I want that life. I want this life so he can lead me. But if I'm going to live this life, I've got to be meek. I've got to embrace him. I've got to say willingly, I want your authority in my life. I want you to control my life. I want your word to be my authority in my life. I don't have all the answers. I'm as dumb and as stubborn as the day is long. You are Lord. Be Lord of my life. Rule my life. Here it is, final thing. Horse or donkey, which is it for you today? Which camp do you want to be in? Which one? Horse or donkey? Here we go. Submissive or stubborn? Humble or haughty? Heaven or hell? And then finally, you bow the knee now. Well, you don't bow, look. You know what I choose? I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus. I choose to bow the knee now. Not because I'm some great Christian leader. I choose the knee now because I'm a sinner who knows where I was and how He dug me out of that pit, amen, and where He's brought me from, hallelujah. And I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus. Amen. You choose Jesus today, say. You choose Jesus.